Everyone needs help.
Focus on preventing injuries and not just being reactive and treating them after they've already occurred.
We can't do it alone, so we go to someone we trust.
I'm here to help people. That's why I became a chiropractor in the first place.
Someone with the knowledge and care we all appreciate.
Quick fixes don't have the positive and lasting effects that we really want.
Dr. Tim Whiting is here to offer you a mix of sports and care, all wrapped into Wellness with Whiting.
Welcome here to Wellness with Whiting, here with Dan Tortora, your host, alongside Dr. Tim Whiting of Syracuse. You can go see him anytime throughout the week, normal business hours. He is there for you at Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center, and you can obviously get in touch with them at 315-472-7128. That's 315-472-7128 is how you get in touch with them. I want to thank my listeners that have gone in there and gone to Dr. Tim Whiting and left better off from what I've been hearing from them. So that's been a good thing, so I appreciate that. We're very happy to have Tim here to talk about wellness for everybody that's listening in, not just athletes, but everyone. Each show, the purpose of the show is to help every single one of us out, including Tim and I, and to also talk to you about the NFL, fantasy football at this time, and as we go throughout the show, it'll change, and we'll talk more about college basketball and different things, but with Wake Up Call having a flag football league, with fantasy football being big with my company, as well as coverage of the NFL and college football, including Syracuse football, it's important for us to talk about a lot of different things in that area, which we do each week. And so, Tim, as always, happy to have you back.
A pleasure, as always, dude. Glad to be here.
See, I know that those were genuine words, but the way that they were said...
My pleasure as always, Dan. Kill myself later.
But, no, I understand.
Lacking on the coffee.
Lacking on the coffee a little bit. So, folks, it is a pleasure for him to be in studio. So, but one of the things, I want to start here, because I'm looking at a map that I'm not surprised. I think maybe I'm a little bit underwhelmed by the balloons that have shown up on this map. But because of everything that's been going on with football recently, but the reported concussion list, and we're looking at a map that was provided online of where concussions have happened just in college football this year, and it was updated as of November 11th, so right before this show that you're listening to. If you're listening to the playback, then just to give you this, it's important to say 135 reported concussions for college football. Not so many on the West Coast, a lot in the Midwest and up and down the East Coast. Syracuse a part of this. But it is important to note that there are 135 reported concussions as of November 11th, 2015. But Eric Dungy's not on that list, so we can at least make that 136, because this is players-wise reported concussions. And so to kind of start things off here, Tim, before we get into some more specific information here, looking at concussions, what's the body going through? For someone who hasn't had a concussion, how would you describe it? What is this world like?
Yeah, so concussions is what we call traumatic brain injury. It's not as much trauma as, obviously, a penetrating wound, but it is... When the body gets hit, the brain has a little bit of cushion on either side and fluid, and it kind of sloshes around and bounces off the actual skull. So it's these hits that the brain hits against the bone, the skull, and basically gets bruised, gets a contusion on it. And this can lead to certain symptoms. Most often you'll get headache, nausea, dizziness, decreased cognitive functions. That's why they have a lot of tests on a computer now that they have to do a preseason screening to see where they score cognitively and how long it takes them to complete certain tasks and such. And then anytime they think they may have a concussion, they have to retake these exams and make sure that the cognitive ability is still there, still intact as it was in the beginning of the season. You'll have balance and coordination issues, so they're going to be doing a lot of one-legged hand-eye coordination things, similar to almost like a DWI test or something. That's one part they'll be doing. And then people have sleep disturbances from this. There's a whole array of different things. Visual, again, whether it's they can't see as clearly, they can't, maybe it's a blurry vision, so there's a lot of different things and subtle things that you have to pick up on, and they're often feeling sluggish, feeling tired. That's why it's hard for them to go to class and sit there and keep up with everybody, because their brain is going through a healing phase. It's like if you strain a muscle and you try to keep working that muscle over and over again, you're going to aggravate it. Same thing, unfortunately, with the brain. You put stress on it, you try to study, you try to concentrate, and it stresses the brain out, and it's difficult for them sometimes.
When you look at the world of concussions, I mean, some people will take a week and a half in the past, couple weeks. Troy Aikman, I remember after his last concussion, I think they interviewed him like 2 weeks after, and apparently nobody had spoken to him before he did the interview, because I don't know how they let him on the air for this, but they were filming him, and they said, "So Troy, how do you feel?" And he looked at the camera, and he said, "The game." Yeah. And they continued to ask him questions for a couple minutes before they kind of gave up on it. They were asking him about the Cowboys and whatnot. So he wasn't okay a couple weeks after. There's other guys that have been put right back in, like an Eric Dungy, who has come back into games after a hard hit that put him out. He has come in the following game after a game that's put him out. So what is the is there a normal timeline? Is it based on your body? I mean, I would think the protocol is at least a week and a half to take somebody out. But we see some people out 4 weeks, some people are out a week, some people are out half a game or whatnot. So is there any type of base level for concussions to say you're going to be out this long?
Usually if it's a diagnosed concussion, as a safety protocol, regardless, they'll keep you out for a week. But it doesn't mean that, say you went out on a Sunday afternoon, doesn't mean that next Sunday you're not going to be in and playing. So, but there really is no true guideline, because everyone is going to be different. Everyone's going to heal different. It's going to depend on their age, on their genetics, on their body's ability to heal, on how many times they've had a concussion. We've talked about this before, that the more and more you get, the harder it is to come back. More of these areas get re-injured, injured easily. So, you know, as people get more and more concussions, usually the timeline does extend. But there's been people with one concussion that are out for a month, and that's going to be based off from these tests that they're doing. The cognitive tests aren't up to par. Their balance tests aren't up to par. They're not feeling well still. They have some dizziness. So anytime there's any symptomatology, they shouldn't be playing. And for the most part, that's why you see these guys are kept out for whatever period of time that they are, until they're completely back to their baseline that was at the beginning of the season. As far as people coming back into the games, they truly shouldn't have had a diagnosis of a concussion if they came back into the game. So they went out, getting hit in the head doesn't necessarily mean you get a concussion. People get hit in the head all the time. So they take them to the locker room, take them to the sideline, run them through a couple of the generic tests that we have for screening. And if they pass those, unfortunately, you get err on the side of caution and take people out. But a lot of players are going to get mad that if they're not having symptoms, you're keeping them out of a game. Or if they seem to be fine, you let them go back in and play and reevaluate them throughout that upcoming week of practice.
When you look at a situation like an Eric Dungy going out in the Pittsburgh game against Pittsburgh in the Carrier Dome, when you see him get hit, fall down, and it was right in front of me in the press box, he went straight down to the ground, face down, not moving, arms at his side, for a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden he pops back up like a ghost of himself and isn't walking completely fine, kind of stumbling away from the trainer. They bring him out for a series and put him right back in. When a player's down on the ground motionless for a couple minutes face down, now they cleared him to play, so obviously they didn't say that he had a concussion, but I would err on the side of caution if my player was not moving face down for a few minutes. I mean, how do you kind of look at a situation like that, where I personally have not seen somebody jump up after being completely motionless?
Yeah, I mean, if he was completely motionless like that, chances are he got knocked out, very similar to how Teddy Bridgewater got knocked out this past week in the NFL. And usually you should err on the side of caution. If somebody loses consciousness, there should be no return to play. They should be set and evaluated throughout the week. And just because you got knocked out also doesn't mean that you're going to have a concussion. You're going to have concussion-like symptoms. You had an instant jarring of the head that did make you lose consciousness, but doesn't mean that you're going to have a concussion down the road. But for the safety of the player, anytime you have loss of consciousness or a spinal cord injury, those are your big ones that you will always err on the side of caution for, and they should sit throughout the game. So I don't know what the SU trainers found and what they thought was okay, but if he truly did lose consciousness, and if other players saw that, because you could ask him all you want, he's not going to remember if he lost consciousness or not. He could have thought it was 2 seconds that went by and it was a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So you're really going to have to depend on how fast the trainers got out there. Was he awake when they got out there? Was he responsive? And things like that. So it really comes down to the training staff. I don't know what they saw. He might have just been laying there because it hurt and he was worried that he had another concussion or something. But, you know, without being there on the sideline, it's hard to say. If he did lose consciousness again, I would have put him on the sideline to sit.
Somebody like an Eric Dungy who took a big hit against Central Michigan and then took another hit when he was on the run against Virginia and then took another hit against Pittsburgh and then took another hit against Louisville. Bare minimum, 4 hits toward his head, at his head, or, you know, that have put him down on the ground. If we're to play coach, or we're to play a trainer or something like that, you've seen the hits, I've seen the hits, the replays have shown the hits. The one against Central Michigan was clearly a targeting play. I actually got a video of it because I was filming the run by Dante Strickland and got to see it. So, I mean, I can play that back all I want. I mean, that would definitely was a hard hit right to the helmet. The Pittsburgh one when he went down, the Virginia one where he jumped over a player, went into the end zone, and as he's crossing in gets hit as he's going into the end zone, and then in the case against Louisville getting hit late in the game. When you look at what he's gone through at 19 years old, would you personally, no matter how good he is or how important he is to the team, would you keep him out there? Because I am not a doctor, but I've seen hits, I've studied football, I've been around it for so long, over a decade, that I can't imagine somebody getting 4 hits like he's taken in 2 seasons and being okay, and he's taken them in a string of, you know, just a few games.
Man, so anytime you see multiple hits to the head, you are going to be concerned. A lot of it's going to be on the coaching end and getting it through to him that, you know, as a mobile quarterback, these are the risks, but you also have to be smart about it. You have to know when to go down, and he has done a couple times where he has gone down and he's gotten hit on his way down, which should always be a penalty, especially if it's to the head. But we haven't seen that so much with him this season for some reason. But, you know, that's the chance you're going to take as a coach and as a player when you have a mobile quarterback like that. Look at anyone in the NFL that's mobile, and they're going to get hit 10 times more, usually harder than just a pocket passer. And even then, you know, you get your bounce, your head off the ground and stuff. Things happen. And it comes down to, for me, it would come down to the exam, you know, making sure that he's doing well on his screenings, his cognitive function. If he's playing okay, he's not dizzy, I would really try to stress his central nervous system. I would be putting him through a lot of, you know, unfortunately he's trying to recover this week and stuff, but, you know, if he says he's feeling fine, I would be testing him this week hard. I'd be making sure that he's not lying, he's not making up, that he doesn't have symptoms, and I would be pushing him real hard to make sure that he was okay to play. And that's where it comes down to being the trainer, being the coach, you know. Should you play him? And if he passes everything, you're going to want to play him, you know. Regardless of how good he is, or if he's your starter, if he's not, and if people are worried that this is going to be a blowout of a game, and should we waste it? It's like, he's there to play, he wants to play. Sit him if he's feeling fine. I mean, that's kind of like if someone had a shoulder injury, it's healed in 3 weeks, and you're just sitting him to sit him when he's passed all of his tests. He has no disabilities or anything, so it's hard of course, you're always going to be more cautious with the head and with concussions, but it's a difficult decision and really comes down to the coach and the trainer. If it was me, you know, it's hard to say sitting here without seeing him, but if he passed everything, I'd probably play him. I know I'm up in arms about it, but I think that, you know, if he passes everything, then there's no reason to sit him. You want people playing, you want your team together, you want to have a chance at winning, and it's not at the cost of his health, because if he's healthy, I'm not putting him in sick, I'm not putting him in harm's way if everything appears healthy. So that's my take on it personally. I know a lot of people think that they should sit him, and everyone's got an opinion, and it's going to come down to Coach Schaefer and the trainer and the medical staff.
You know, I think being around Eric Dungy and talking with him before he came to Syracuse, knowing what he's about, having the vibe that he was, I mean, I said it before he even got here, that I thought he was going to push Terrell Hunt at being a starting quarterback, and that if Terrell got the job, he was going to be number two, no matter the fact that Austin had been here and AJ had been here. I really felt like he was going to be the next man up, so to speak, behind Terrell, and that after Terrell that he would be there, and that's exactly what happened. That was my feeling on him going into the season, so I understand the want to play him and the necessity that Syracuse might feel to play him, because, you know, obviously they see what I see. He's a good athlete. I think he's even better than what I had originally projected, maybe. And, you know, I obviously understand the competitive side of it, but I fear for the kid, because Kyle Knapp, offensive lineman, had three concussions, disqualified from playing at Syracuse. Isaiah Johnson had multiple concussions, disqualified from playing at Syracuse, and he was playing defensive line. And then A.J. Long, I don't think he had, I mean, he didn't have three at Syracuse. He's had them in the past, but the one that he suffered in practice a few weeks back from when we're airing this, that was enough to take him out, disqualify him, according to Syracuse doctors. So there's been multiple players that Syracuse has said, hey, you know what, it's not safe to put you out there. But Eric Dungy, to me, is kind of towing that line. I feel like he's one big hit away from laying down on that field for a long time. And what my concern is, to know him as a person, to be around him, to have interviewed him, to see his talent, I want him to do well. I want him to play well. I'm rooting for the kid, just like I root for all the guys I talk to in recruiting that are really stand-up people, no matter where they go. And so I'm faced with, I'm rooting for the kid, but I'm also faced with the notion that I'm seeing this guy go down, and I'm seeing him stay down. And it just, two big hits and a couple other ones that are pretty big, and then some other ones trickled in there. I just don't know how much a kid can take. I mean, as far as I know, he's not Superman, but he's kind of acting like he is right now. And my fear is, you know, just for the overall health of him, that, yeah, you want him to play this year, but will he be able to play after this year? Will he be able to handle it after this year? You know, is he really okay? And when he came back into the Pittsburgh game, after he went down, that next drive when he was throwing the ball, his timing was off, he didn't look comfortable. And in all honesty, I did not see the same Eric Dungy after he got knocked down to the ground and was motionless for a couple minutes. When he came back out, no matter what anybody says, I'm watching the game, it's right in front of me, he didn't look like himself. And I kind of question whether or not he's been himself for a while. And, you know, I understand wanting to win the game, but I'm caring more about Eric being a father and a husband one day more than I'm caring about him throwing a touchdown.
Yeah, and of course, like I said, the health's always your number one concern, without a doubt. But it's very hard to sit here and say without seeing it firsthand. Like I said, I can sit here and say all the time if he's feeling good, whatever, he can go. But it really comes down to his exams. And if he's passing everything, you know, yes, he had the concussions. Yes, he still is taking those big hits in that one last week. But there's a lot of guys that take big hits every week, and, you know, everyone is one big hit away from possibly being out of a career, and it's part of the risk you take when you're playing football. You know your risks and stuff, and yes, of course, you're always going to be fearful for, for longevity and for his life down the road with anyone, regardless if they've had one or no hits. There could be one big hit that could break someone's back and paralyze them forever. So you're always going to have that innate risk with these sports, with the athleticism and the power that everyone has now. So, yeah, I'm worried for him. Again, without seeing him firsthand, it's very hard to make a call here. You know, maybe if I saw him, and like you said, if he's still off this week, his timing's off, but he's passing all of his other tests, then that would be a sign for me to say, you're not yourself. Look on film, see how you were doing this before, and you're not doing the same. So if that's still going on this week, then maybe he shouldn't play. But without seeing him in practice and seeing what he's doing, it's difficult to sit here and make claims, unfortunately, for me.
Do you like the way that Eric plays the game? The leaping over players, not sliding 9 times out of 10. I mean, there are running quarterbacks. Robert Griffin III has made a history in the NFL of not necessarily getting a concussion, but putting his body out on the line, jumping, instead of running to the sideline, jumping toward the sideline and having that propeller thing where somebody will spin him around like a helicopter. He's gotten injured consistently. You know, there's running quarterbacks. Donovan McNabb has done it. Randall Cunningham has done it. Robert Griffin III, Michael Vick. But we see some of them get hurt. Eric Dungy, I don't think you could say that there's a lot of quarterbacks right now that can clear a leap over a player while they're running in the field and someone's running at them. Do you like the way he plays the game, not sliding as a quarterback, putting his body on the line, putting his head out there, putting his full body out there when he's jumping over someone? To look at it as a whole, do you like the way he plays the game?
I like the way he sits in the pocket. I like the way he passes. I think he's smart. He's very intelligent as a quarterback. I like that he's mobile and can get out there and put an extra strain on the defense. But with any quarterback, not just Eric, I hated when RG3 ran like that and put his body on the line and tried to lead people, and he tried to be this Superman. He tried to be this guy where I can make the play myself. Let me get that extra half yard. Let me, you know, and go head first into a dive. And unfortunately, it's not smart football. And they're going to find out. I said it when they were drafted. I said I looked at Luck versus RG3, and I laugh when people took RG3. I'm like, he's not going to make it. I didn't make that claim. I'll say it 1,000 times over because he's just beating himself up too much. He doesn't have the stock. He's not big enough to be taking these hits. And as a quarterback, your job is to throw the ball. It's not to make these phenomenal jumping, leaping plays, unfortunately. Yeah, it's great to watch. It's fun to watch. I'm not going to say I don't cheer for him when he makes these plays, but overall, how often are you doing it? It's not smart. Scramble, run, slide, take the 3 yards versus the sack. Don't need the first down. Make it a second or third and short versus a chance of ending your career because you wanted those extra 3 yards for the first down. That, to me, is smart football. Giving your team a chance to move forward instead of, you know, trying to be the hero and everything. That's what you see a lot. One guy that's doing it right now and goes against all things is Cam Newton, but he's also a monster. So he can take some of these hits. His body can endure them a little bit. He does protect his head a little bit better than some of these people do, but you still see him doing his jumps and flips and stuff too. And he's been warned by his coaches. He's been looked at on the sideline. You know, coach will stare at him a little bit. So any coach is always going to be concerned when they do that. So smart play is always going to be the slide.
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, Cam Newton, Donovan McNabb, Randall Cunningham were kind of the exceptions to the rule. But in most cases, you put it this way, Eric Dungy leaped over a player when they were playing Virginia. And that was wonderful. But you kind of look at that and you say, okay, Eric, you've achieved it. It's one of those bucket list thing. Put it up on the wall. Don't ever do it again.
Move on.
You know, that's kind of where it sits. We're going to keep talking about this, but we're going to look at it as a national issue and what's going on. Some of the research done on concussions updated to the early part of November as we're talking right now. That'll be coming up on Wellness with Whiting. Concussions are very important for any parent that's listening that has their children playing a sport, to someone who is a student athlete yourself, to someone who is a former athlete, and to those that are fans of all the athletes. What's coming up next is very important for you to listen to. We'll look forward to having you back here on Wellness with Whiting with Dr. Tim Whiting and myself, Dan Tortora, in just a second.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Whiting with your tip of the week. Today we're talking ACL injuries. ACL injuries are becoming more common in sports today. often seen in basketball, football, and soccer, and occurring during non-contact incidents, such as landing from a jump, planting, or quick cutting motions. Recent studies show that greater strength of the external rotators of the hip give you greater control of your knee and decreased risk of injury. Talk with your fitness professional on which exercises will help you train these muscles. For more tips and info, look for my link on wakeupcalldp.com. This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Welcome back here to Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, as well as the free Wake Up Call DT app. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile, and you can also listen to the show, Wellness with Whiting, and all the shows from Wake Up Call on iTunes. The name of the show is the name of the free podcast. Search Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on iTunes Podcast. Now, thank you to everybody that's listening in. Truly cannot thank you enough for everything that you do and everything that you've been to have hundreds and thousands of listeners a week, to have people really dedicated to my craft and dedicated to people like Dr. Tim Whiting to give him a voice here on the show and for people to listen back to that voice. I truly appreciate the opportunity that you've given to myself and to Tim with Wellness with Whiting and beyond that. Looking at concussions and what's been going on, one of the things, looking at this map of just college, these are purely college concussions. These are not including the NFL. Looking at the map of college football concussions in 2015, Tim, I have to ask this question just because of the way that it looks. The Midwest and the East are plagued by a lot of balloons on the map of concussions, but as you go to the West, not so many concussions. In the South, there's concussions. In the North, not so many. So does geography affect the brain or affect concussions? I it might be a crazy question to ask, but looking at the map from Nebraska West, there's very few concussions, and then from Nebraska East, this is where the bulk of them are happening, and they're happening in the South, some in the North, and a lot of them in the East, but not so many in the Northwest, and not so many in the western part of the country.
I think it comes more down to the distribution of your college teams, your Division I big college teams, than anything. If we were to look at the actual cities and see what colleges were there, I think that's what we'll find is more than that, because there's really no geographical distribution of why somebody in the Midwest is two times more likely to get it than somebody in the far East. So I don't think anything like that. You got to look at the teams themselves that are in that area. Some of your bigger conferences, your ACC, your SEC, that have bigger recruits, have bigger players, stronger players, that may add to that different distribution. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe some of your Texas, your Louisianas, and the people in the around the Mississippi area. Those are some of your big boys, your big players, and some of the top recruits. So I'm thinking it's more of the distribution on that level than anything. Because actual geography and climate aren't really going to have an effect on that.
Yeah, because it wouldn't necessarily makes sense that geography would have anything to do with a hit. It's just funny to look at this map and say that, we're not seeing anything in a lot of states. And obviously, on the West Coast, I should say, we're not seeing a lot, except for the state of California, which has a bunch. But I do want to note that it seems like North Carolina and Virginia are most plagued by these. And obviously, there's a lot of teams in North Carolina. There's James Madison, East Carolina, North Carolina, the Tar Heels, Duke. There's NC State. There's Clemson right there in South Carolina, right below them.
Virginia Tech. So you got a lot of big teams right there. So I think that's going to be more, again.
And Wake Forest as well.
Yeah, so you got a lot of teams focused in that area.
So that's one area. And then the Indiana-Michigan area. New York, a little bit. But it seems like the bubbles are most apparent in North Carolina, Virginia area, and as we talked about, there's so many teams there that are going to be affected by something like that. So as we look through this list, though, I think it's important to note concussions by conference, and this is updated November 11th, 2015. There is the ACC, where Syracuse plays, is number one in the country in concussions, something you don't want to be first at. And they have at least 25, including Eric Dungy, with concussions to Reggie Bonifant, quarterback from Louisville, as well as Everett Golson, quarterback from Florida State, and a bunch of Florida State players that are on this list. Tyler Rouse from Boston College, Jeff Smith from Boston College, Christian Leser from Boston College, Kevin Kavalik from Boston College as well. So Boston College has a bunch of guys here.
Take Florida State and Boston College out of that, and we're down to like...
Yeah,
four concussions. So
yeah, Florida
to me,
State
that might be a there might be a coaching and a training issue. Then I don't know what they're doing in practice or the equipment issue. But when I see my team is leading with that many concussions going on, I'd be taking a step back as a coach and figuring out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, because when we look at Florida State here, I'm counting 7 of the 25 concussions in the ACC. Are coming from Florida State, 7 of those, and then Boston College looking at 4 or 5, and Syracuse with a couple. But the ACC is first in concussions. The Mountain West is second with 21. The Pac-12 is third with 19. The Big Ten is fourth with 18. Conference USA is fifth with 14. The SEC has 9, and they're in sixth place. And then tied for seventh, the American Athletic Conference and the Independents both have 8. The Big 12 in 9th place with concussions with 7. The Sun Belt in 10th place with 4. The Mid-American in 11th place with 3. And so I think it's important to note with the independents here, too. Not a lot of independent schools. Notre Dame only has 1. Army's had a few here. And then in the American, East Carolina, you're not seeing many teams suffer with them except for Tulane has had 3. East Carolina's had 2. And Houston has had 2 as well. So Tulane is leading that. But it's kind of interesting to see the breakdown that the ACC, because we talk about competition and where are the big boys, where are the hardest hitters, that type of thing. And a lot of people are going to say SEC then ACC. I thought the SEC-ACC football discrepancy was a little bit farther apart. SEC on top, ACC, let's say, an inch below. And this year, I think that there may be a hair below the SEC. And as far as hits and potentially what's going on in practice or training-wise, the ACC by far is ahead of everybody except for the Mountain West as far as concussions go, with 25 as of November 11th. What can you say to these numbers? I mean, we're not talking about 25 concussions nationwide. We're talking about 25 concussions among 14 schools. So that's each school with about 2 concussions apiece if you break it down.
Yeah, so it's hard. There's some variables I'd like to look at, which would be mobile quarterbacks versus pocket quarterbacks compared to, say, let's compare the SEC to the ACC. As SEC is kind of down there for lower ones, and they're known as a powerhouse division. So that would be my first thing. Mobile versus pocket passers. We've got a lot in the ACC of those quarterbacks that do like to get on the move and run around. So that would be one thing I'd look at to compare team by team. Size and quality of the offensive line, one to protect the quarterback and to protect the running backs. That would be another component I would look at, because usually you got those bigger linemen that can protect a little bit better. You may lower the risk of those concussions on your running backs and your quarterbacks as they come up through. And then practice, if we're going full contact 4 days a week, 2 days a week, what are we doing? Is SEC doing doing something different? Are they practicing, you know, uppers only and making it so they're lower contact things? You know, without knowing the conferences personally, I'm not sure what. But those would be some of the things that stick out to me to think about, you know, reducing the contact throughout practices and protecting everyone. You see a lot of them are actual linemen. There's, you know, compared to running backs and quarterbacks, what we think of the most, it is the linemen, because they do take that repetitive, those repetitive blows play by play by play. So it's a lot of that that adds up. It doesn't have to be one of those big blows. So, and linemen overall are going to be the majority of your team between offensive and defensive linemen. You actually look at numbers, so that's going to make sense why those numbers are higher as well compared to quarterbacks and running backs. So you got to look at, break it down and see what's really going on. I would look more at the teams themselves and see what the differences are.
And looking at these teams, not knowing the inner workings of what they're doing day to day, because obviously teams keep that closed no matter what. That's something that is a very closed door thing. Concussions by programs around the country in the United States as of November 11, 2015. Wyoming has the most concussions in 2015 with 11. Arizona has 8. Florida State has 7, Wisconsin has 6, and Minnesota has 5. So those are the top 5. And I thought that this was interesting. Concussions by position. You just brought up offensive linemen because there's more of them out there, and they could take that head-to-head blow without people even seeing it. As of November 11th, 2015, the position that has taken the most concussions in 2015 are defensive backs. Those in the secondary, your safeties and your corners, they have 29 concussions. Offensive linemen around the country in 2015 have 26 total concussions. Wide receivers have 16. Linebackers have 15. And the quarterback is what you always hear about with concussions. They're in fifth place out of the top five with 14 concussions. So they're actually the lowest of the top five. Defensive backs are getting them. And this is something that, you know, I mean, I guess some defensive backs lead with their head, try and knock somebody out. Maybe they concuss themselves in doing it. But it's interesting because I would think wide receivers, more so than defensive backs, would have concussions. But the safeties and the corners are at the top. Does that surprise you?
A little surprising over the linemen. Not necessarily surprising overall, though, because if I've ever seen any piss-poor tackling form and these people out headhunting, it's been from these defensive backs, like you said, kind of coming in, leading with their head, leading with their shoulder, trying to lay out these big hits on people, or trying to take down a 225 back that's running at 20 miles an hour by the time they get to them, and going for their legs, getting knee, getting kicked in the helmet. These are things that you see a lot with these backs that get run over a lot. So, you know, and they're often the leading tacklers on the team. So now you look at that aspect of it, again, makes sense because they're in on almost every single tackle in some way or another. You'll get hit by your own guys when you get in these pileups and stuff, so they do take quite a beating. And then look at their size. Usually tall, lanky, skinny, not much girth, not much protection going on. So, you know, correcting form and taking away this flaunting, this the going for the big hit, the headhunting thing, would probably drop that number down a little bit. But it's also just the nature of their position where they're going to be in on a lot more plays at higher speeds as they break through to the secondary with these receivers and with the running backs getting the top speed later on. So makes sense when you look at it a little bit. So I'm not overly shocked by it.
I think it's funny that concussions by state reported as of November 11, 2015, Florida is first with 16, and they have a ton of teams in Florida. You're looking at your Central Florida, your South Florida, your Florida State, your Florida Gators. You're looking at FIU, FAU, Miami. There's so many teams down there. But the interesting thing is that Wyoming is number 2 with 11, but Wyoming has one team, Wyoming. And they were concussions, when you look at concussions by football program, they're number 1 with 11, and their state is leading in the country out of 50 states, right behind Florida with 11. So the 11 concussions suffered by the Wyoming program, make the state of Wyoming second among 50 states with concussions. So this might be a thing, and it's no offense to Wyoming, could be anybody, but like you said, where maybe it's a program thing that they have to check into, that one program itself is right behind Florida that has numerous schools.
Four or five teams.
You got like four, five, six, seven teams that could be in this list where Wyoming only has one.
Yeah, so like that would be exactly what I would look at the program-wise. What's going on? Are they going full contact all the time? Is their equipment different than anyone else's, which with NCAA regulations...
Do they play with the leather helmets from the past at this point?
You know, if they're going uppers, are they still going contact? You know, it could be an intensity thing. The coach wants everyone to get pumped up, so it might be something like that. Or maybe they hate each other on the team and they're just out to hurt each other.
Or they have the guy from the Goonies out there and, you know, gets mad at mom and starts wreaking havoc.
Slopping freaks out. But take Wyoming out of there and we look at some of the bigger states anyways that have more teams. You're looking at Florida, Texas, Arizona, and California. One thing that sticks out to me that I would be kind of intrigued about is all of those states are very warm, hot states. I'm wondering the role that dehydration during practices has to do with these, during games has to do with these, because dehydration sets in, you have lower fluids in your body. What is the barrier between your brain and your skull? Is fluid, is your CSF fluid. If you're dehydrated, that fluid is decreased as well, and you're going to have less of that barrier. That's the doctor sticking out in me thinking, making a connection between that. So I'm really wondering about this the CSF and the dehydration, if it's a correlation between that and why we have these concussions more. I'd like to look at the other teams when they get their concussions, where are they playing? Are they playing in warmer climates and stuff? That'd be kind of a future check that I'd like to make just to set myself on.
So the warmer climate could be, or warmer climate, I should say, could be an issue with concussions here. Wyoming, though, you stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah, that program.
It just is the odd man out.
Wyoming is the odd man out, but a place that you might, I don't know if you want to be there with 11 concussions right now, but hopefully they can get that thing spun around. So that's a little background on concussions. I thought this information was great, so I definitely do appreciate the information that was brought about by Timothy Bella. I want to thank him for looking this up and kind of compiling all of it, and it was updated right before the show, so thank you for that. As we move forward here, we're going to take a step aside on Wellness with Whiting. Spent a lot of time on concussions, talked about Syracuse, Eric Dungy, all important things for any football player and any player in general around the country and their loved ones when we talk about concussions. These are for goodness sakes, of playing flag football, I went after a fumble and I got hit in the back of the head two or three times, and I was even like, after the game, I was a little bit jarred, and I was like, let me kind of feel myself out, make sure I'm okay before I just go to sleep for 8 hours, and and I woke up the next day and everything was good. But you know, in my case, I'm playing flag football, but an elbow to the head and a head to the head, there's no helmet on. Right. So you know, you got to be careful. Concussions are a big thing in today's world, and unfortunately they have led to the unfortunate health demise of some players out there, like Syracuse favorite tight end John Mackey. Yeah, who in the NFL, you know, you can make a case was one of the best tight ends, if not the best tight end ever. So to John in heaven, God bless you, and we hope you're watching over us here today, and we hope that better things are done for people in the future in honor of John and everybody else. We'll take a step aside here on Wellness with Whiting with Dr. Tim Whiting, myself, Dan Tortora. When we come back, we'll head to the NFL to talk about those injuries that are affecting your team, your fantasy football team, football in general. We'll go into those injuries, and if Rashad Perriman is going to ever play football, or at this point he should just start broadcasting. We'll talk about that in a few moments here on Wellness with Whiting.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Whiting with your tip of the week. Today we're talking ACL injuries. ACL injuries are becoming more common in sports today, often seen in basketball, football, and soccer, and occurring during non-contact incidents such as landing from a jump, planting, or quick cutting motions. Recent studies show A greater strength of the external rotators of the hip give you greater control of your knee and decreased risk of injury. Talk with your fitness professional on which exercises will help you train these muscles. For more tips and info, look for my link on wakeupcalldp.com.
Welcome back here to Wellness with Whiting on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call app you can get by going to wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile. That's wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, and on iTunes, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. The name of the show is the name of the free podcast, so search it there as Tim laughs, only because I'm thinking that he's going, how the hell does he remember all that stuff? I just do it. It's in my brain. It's enough. I got it. But it's the same thing when we were recording the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora show. My two co-hosts, TJ and Brian, as soon as we went to break, they said, how the hell do you remember all of that stuff without looking at it? Like, to know where to tell people to go. I was like, I don't know. I think I'm part robotic. I think my brain is just programmed to go. When you're a host of a show, there's things you don't forget. Like your phone number, Tim, 315-472-7128.
That's me.
That you work for Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. That your name is Dr. Tim Whiting. That people can find you on wakeupcalldt.com's The Team tab, going down to Dr. Tim Whiting Chiropractor. So if you didn't have me, Tim, people would have no idea how to get to you.
They wouldn't know who I am.
They wouldn't know anything.
No.
They would just think you're just some random guy pretending to be a doctor out in the world.
Basically what I'm doing.
No, but Tim's a good guy. Go to him. He's not Kevorkian over here. That's not it. That was a good one. See? Yeah. Pulled that out of my history bank.
I think we brought him up a couple weeks ago, too.
Kevorkian brought him up. Hitler was the show previous. Benito Mussolini.
That
was a heads-up play. Mm-hmm. You get why I said that? Benito Mussolini, because they cut off his head and put it on a stick. There you go. Heads-up play. That's a concussion he'll feel forever. So going to the NFL injury report, because it's only fitting to go there from talking about Benito's head, is to cover each of these teams. And we look at 32 NFL teams every single week on wakeupcalldt.com. You go to the team tab, scroll down to Dr. Tim Whiting Chiropractor, and I hand do this, update every single one of 32 teams every week.
He does that for me.
And Tim,
quite a guy.
Tim checks that.
It would take me 14 hours to do, so I'm glad he does it.
Yeah, I think it takes me like 20 minutes, 20, 25, just like down the line, just doing it. So, yeah, all those updates, folks, they do not update themselves. I update them. So please understand that and appreciate that. If you have any questions about somebody that doesn't show up on the list, or if it's, you know, a few minutes before game time or something going on, you have a question, you can feel free to always send me your fantasy football questions at facebook.com/wakeupcalldt and on Twitter @calldt. That's the at symbol with C-A-L-L-D-T. So make sure you do that. But you can check out Dr. Tim Whiting Chiropractor page under the team tab of wakeupcalldt.com. And 32 teams, even the teams that are off, I make the injury report for all of them, proudly presented by Dr. Tim Whiting. He presents it. I do the work.
Also, you can check me out on Twitter. I do some things as well. So, yeah. Dr. Whiting 44. I'm either throwing things out there or retweeting from injury report or one of the old MDs from the NFL puts a lot of stuff out. So when you're going to make your picks, look there. See if you can figure out who to start or send me your questions if you got anything on the injuries.
Yeah, so Tim and I are always available to you 24/7. Make sure you send out the information to us if you have a question. And send it out earlier than 3 minutes before game time. Yeah. Give us some time to make a decision here to help you out a little bit.
Because I'll answer a minute after just to spite you.
Yeah, Tim will wait till 101 and be like, I think you should go with LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, but man, one of my buddies in the fantasy league put up a request for a trade 6 days ago, and it was Deion Lewis and somebody else. Dude didn't accept it. Deion Lewis gets declared out, and he accepts the trade. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. So he's trying to get it vetoed by his league, but his league's the commissioner says he can't veto it. I'm like, what?
You can veto it.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to veto it.
I'll veto it. I've actually accepted, for the first time ever, I've played fantasy football for over a decade, I've run my own fantasy football leagues for Wake Up Call Fantasy Football for years now. And I want to thank everybody. I think we're 6 years into the Florida League. The National League, I think, is 3 years old. The Syracuse Leagues, a couple of them, are, I think, 4 years old. And then the two newest ones in Syracuse are 2 years old. So I've been doing this for a long time. And I don't think I have ever accepted a trade from the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football League Challenge. And I was proposed two of them recently, and I accepted one of them. I gave up T.J. Yeldon, which is hard for me because in the comfort of my own home, I love the Jaguars. I've covered them for 7 years. I'm impartial when it comes to games, though. You don't see me saying the Jaguars are going to beat the Patriots. I mean, I, as a broadcaster, I'm impartial. In the comfort of my own home, screw you. I like the Jaguars. So, but I, when I'm... I gave up T.J. Yeldon, which was hard for me to do as a Jaguars fan, but I said, you have to do the professional, not the personal. So I gave up T.J., and I got what I wanted. I actually got Benjamin Watson, the tight end that Drew Brees loves throwing to recently with the Saints, and I got another running back, and I forget. Oh, I got Jeremy Hill from Cincinnati. So I got Jeremy Hill and Benjamin Watson for T.J. Yeldon, which I thought was genius. But there is a trade on the table right now for me to give up Kelvin Johnson and Marshawn Lynch for like four or five players. And Detroit's not had a great year, but I'm very wary about giving up on Kelvin. Marshawn Lynch, they need to give him more. Because the Skittles are... The energy
I
is,
need something from you, Marshawn.
There's not a lot of energy going on with Marshawn Lynch right now. He's kind of treating games like he treats press conferences. Just kind of silent. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of action going on. Not a lot of key points that are coming through. So if you get my parallels, Marshawn, it's time to wake up, smell the Skittles, taste the rainbow, and do something. Get out there and make
just,
it worth
just
it.
Just like 10 points? I mean, I don't even need a big... You're not even doing that for me. So
and not even
there.
Four or six. So, you know, Marshawn Lynch, we're hoping for more out of you. A lot more out of you, Marshawn. Because beast mode, I think he's gone from beast mode. There's different settings that you can have on, you know, I mean, if you're watching your TV, you could put it to different modes. I think that Marshawn came off of beast mode, and I think it's safe to say that he's now on prairie dog mode, snail mode, slightly asleep, but you try to wake him up mode, that type of thing. So I think Marshawn needs to wake up. Thomas Rawls did well when they gave him the ball. D'Angelo Williams.
Phenomenal.
This is my problem with D'Angelo. In Pittsburgh, this is directed toward you. So before we get to some of these injuries, I have to say this while we're on here with Wellness with Whiting, because we talk about wellness, the overall health. And this connects to it because the overall health of the success of the Steelers should have relied on having Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams running the ball together. D'Angelo, when Le'Veon was out for his suspension, did nothing wrong, played extremely well, got a ton of points, 10 points, 20 points, doing well. Le'Veon comes back, D'Angelo goes on the bench, he's punished for doing good things. Mm-hmm. Just because Bell is there, he had to sit on the bench. Bell goes out, D'Angelo comes back, he scores over 30 points for fantasy football owners. And he had one of the best games, if not the best game of his season, over 100 yards rushing, two touchdowns. So here's my thing with Pittsburgh. You have two good running backs that could start anywhere. So in hindsight, 2020, when Bell gets healthy, and you have an opportunity to keep Bell and D'Angelo, you play the both of them, you make all the fantasy fans proud, and then you don't have to worry about what quarterback's in the back, whether it's Landry Jones, Michael Vick, or Ben Roethlisberger, because the team's going to do work. Mm-hmm. And Antonio Brown's going to, at some point somewhere, pick up a fumble, pass a ball to himself, or do something to get him points. So I wouldn't worry about Antonio. I never do. But I think D'Angelo, that was a big loss for Pittsburgh. And what?
And Martavis Bryant. You got a lot of weapons on that team.
And Marcus Wheaton, who the only person who likes to throw to him is Michael Vick. So you're kind of...
Yeah, what's going on with that? I mean, he's dominant.
Because every quarterback, and this is an important thing to know with fantasy football, it's not just injuries that affect your team, it's relationships. Each quarterback has their favorite target. Tony Romo loves Jason Witten and loves Dez Bryant. and he gives a little love to Terrence Williams. But when Brandon Wheaton came in, Terrence Williams had no love. And then in the case of Ben Roethlisberger loves Antonio Brown, doesn't really like throwing to Marcus Wheaton. But Michael Vick, Marcus Wheaton was his top. And when Vick was out there, Antonio Brown's numbers went way down. Wheaton went up. Bryant's went up. Landry Jones comes in. Bryant's numbers stay up. Antonio Brown, a little bit better. Marcus Wheaton gets lost in the shuffle. Ben comes back. Marcus Wheaton, you might as well be on IR. And you have Antonio Brown back doing his work again. So it's not just injuries that affect your team. That's why it's important to send your questions to @CallDT, C-A-L-L, DT on Twitter, and on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. If you have a fantasy football question that doesn't have to do with injuries, screw Tim. Get to me as soon as you can.
But he's better off with who to start, when to start. I'll just tell you if their ankle's hurting or not. Yeah. So.
But all jokes aside, Tim does a great job. The two of us together, we believe that if we put two minds together, we can put you in the right situation. And more often than not, we have. And I actually want to, before we get into the injuries here, just to talk about some of the things that happened this past week. I do a show called Fantasy Football Friday Live every Friday at noon Eastern time on wakeupcalldt.com and directly on the link mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt if you want to go straight to the live link. And Fantasy Football Friday is all 32 teams of who to play, sit, and consider. So I want to make a note of the players that I had this past week. These are the players that did well that I told people to play. Are you ready for this? Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, Deion Lewis did okay. Odell Beckham Jr., Cam Newton, Greg Olson, D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown, Allen Hurns, Blake Bortles, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, Eddie Lacy, Aaron Rodgers, James Jones, Antonio Andrews, Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Carlos Williams. I think I'm the only person in America that told you that. I don't even think the Bills told you that, so you better be playing Carlos Williams. Rishard Matthews, Brandon Marshall, Chris Ivory, Allen Robinson, okay. Amari Cooper, Derek Carr, Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, Darren McFadden, T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and Peyton Manning. Who I told you to not play, I said don't play anybody on the Redskins, wasn't wrong there. Matt Jones, wasn't wrong there. Rashad Jennings, not wrong. Shane Vereen, he did okay. Andre Williams, not really wrong. Marcus Mariota, he did okay. Tennessee running backs besides Antonio Andrews, didn't really do well. C.J. Spiller, nothing. LeSean McCoy got hurt. Lamar Miller did a couple things. Ryan Tannehill, no big deal. Miami defense, special teams, no. Jameis Winston, kind of blah. Mike Evans dropped a lot of balls. Roddy White, nothing. Niners quarterback, running back, wide receiver, they didn't really give you too much. Blaine Gabbert did a little. And Andrew Luck, who got hurt. So I make that list to kind of back it up when people are like, well, how do we really know that you know what you're talking about? If the people I say play, if I say play these people, don't play these people, and the people I tell you to play outnumber the people I told you not to, that's how I judge it. If it's like 150 to like 56, then I'm good. If it's 150 to 149, then we have a problem. But I do my best to prognosticate for you. It's a big word. Sleep on it. Think about it. And, you know, some of the things that we do that kind of start me up on who to play, sit, and consider come here today on Wellness with Whiting that we do every single week, which is look at the NFL rosters, look at the injuries, and look at what's going on. So we're going to really pick out the big ones to see all the injuries every week, who's out, doubtful, probable, and questionable. You can go to wakeupcalldt.com, go to the team tab, and scroll down to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. All 32 NFL teams will be there for you to choose from. But in this specific show, which is located on the same page, we pick out of the 32 teams the big injuries that everybody's worried about, everybody's concerned about. So we're going to start here. I'm not going to say much. Just going to say Baltimore Ravens, Rashad Perriman, wide receiver, hasn't played out of UCF, is a rookie all year long with that PCL injury, and he is not out.
Questionable.
He's questionable. He has not practiced.
He's questionably going to sit on the bench like he has all year.
He's probably going to sit on the bench, but I did want to let everybody know that he's questionable. I thought that that was a big reveal. You didn't give me a drum roll. And Tim was texting when I said that, so Tim doesn't even care. But
I'm getting my tips, all right.
But the Buffalo Bills running back, LeSean McCoy, shoulder is probable. Here's my thing. Now, he's probable to play, but LeSean McCoy has been, I'm going to say it, I don't care, Bills fans, it's the truth, and I know there's a lot of McCoy fans. His last year in Philadelphia, last season, I said, I don't think he's worth it. Going to the Bills, I said, I wouldn't draft him in fantasy football. I don't think he's worth playing out there. Carlos Williams has been friggin' phenomenal. The only time he's played bad is when he hasn't played at all from his concussion. So LeSean McCoy is probable to play, Dr. Tim Whiting. But would you play him, knowing that Carlos Williams has been great and LeSean McCoy has been kind of garbage?
Depending on who you have on your bench and what you're dealing with, if you have Carlos Williams, play Carlos Williams, without a doubt. He's a monster. We saw him last week. He's running people over. Unfortunately, it was my team that he was running over, so I wasn't too enthused, but I did respect that he is a heck of a running back. So I'd play him. McCoy's not going to get you much. Every week, he doesn't get you much. This week, he got you the most because he had a 50-yard touchdown run because Miami sucks, and I can say that because they're my team. So, yeah, he's shown glimmers here and there, but overall, you know, I don't think he's worth it. I wouldn't play him. I'd play Williams for sure, though.
And for everybody that hasn't listened to me for 5 or 6 weeks on Carlos Williams and left him in free agency, thank you. Because I picked him up in 2 or 3 of the leagues, so I appreciate that. Sammy Watkins, Buffalo Bills wide receiver. When he's out there, he gets targeted. He has an ankle injury, but he's probable. He did play last week. What can you say about Sammy?
Yeah, looks like it was just a mild ankle sprain, if you want to call it a sprain. Probably not even. He rolled it up a little. Looked good. Played for, I think he played the rest of the game. He should be out there this week. He's one I'd pick up, and I know it's tough against the Jets defense. If maybe it wasn't the Jets, I'd be more willing to play him. But I like Watkins. He came off a great week last week, so the Jets might be targeting, so he might not be one of the best ones to play this week. Injury-wise, he's going to go. He's going to play. Just point-wise, I don't know. I think the Jets are going to try to shut him down coming off that big week last week.
Chicago Bears have two big injuries. Wide receiver Eddie Royal with a knee injury. He's been hurt for a while. He's questionable. He has not practiced. And running back Matt Forte, who didn't play last week in Monday night against San Diego, still has his knee injury. He's questionable, and he's a limited participant in practice. So they're playing St. Louis. Matt Forte, running back, wide receiver Eddie Royal, both with knee injuries, both questionable. Matt Forte practicing a little bit. Eddie Royal not at all.
I don't think Forte is going to play this week. He's coming off the MCL injury. Inside reports now say 1 to 2 weeks, so I don't think he's going to play this week. And even if he does, he's not worth starting your fantasy. First week back off a knee injury like that, he's going to be hesitant. I don't think he's going to do much if he does go, but I don't think he's coming until at least next week. I'd be more concerned about Gould missing the kicker. He's been out with an illness, but he should be all right to play. I like Gould.
And looking here for the Dallas Cowboys, the next team with big injuries, wide receiver Dez Bryant with a foot and knee injury has left him questionable. He has not practiced, questionable for Week 10. Even though he's played in the last couple games, hasn't maybe truly been 100%, hasn't been targeted as the number one guy throughout. And so I'm going to give credit to Dr. Tim Whiting, who, when Dez Bryant went out, he came on the show, and I think it was the second show that we did for Wellness with Whiting. You said 4 to 6 weeks is not accurate. He'll be out 10 and or come back around week 10, and he still has not been healthy. So you said you take that as a win.
Yeah, I mean, I said the minimum 8, and which he was, and I said 10 to 12. So he came back earlier from 12, which is good because he did have that surgery, so that's why he got a little bit faster healing. But again, he hasn't been doing as much. So as far as coming back, yeah, he's playing, but for fantasy-wise, it doesn't really matter. He hasn't been putting much up. He should start getting more targets. Castle's getting more comfortable with everything there, with the formations, and a little bit more confident. So I think he'll start getting a few more. He may be worth it as a flex player or someone to keep an eye on if you have him. I'd hold on to him for a little bit. I think he can still be a big impact player there.
I really want Dez Bryant, when he catches a pass for somebody to play, give it to me, I'm worth it, because you just said that in your statement. So Dez Bryant and Matt Cassel, as he gets more comfortable. I said when Matt got the starting job over Brandon Wheaton without playing a game for Dallas that I thought he would be a better option at quarterback than Brandon Wheaton, and I thought he'd do some good things. He came out right away and made some good plays in his opening game, and this is the thing with Dallas. You look at their record, and the record doesn't signify the season. They've had a lot of injuries. Sean Lee just went out with a concussion again. Their linebacker, who's the center of their defense, Chris Carr, is injured as well. Or Brandon Carr, I should say. Brandon Carr, the cornerback, is injured currently, as well as Dez Bryant's gone through injuries. Tony Romo's still not back yet. So this team, I don't think their record signifies truly who Dallas is, because if they can play with Matt Cassel and be close in games and go to overtime in games against the Philadelphia Eagles, imagine what they would be like if they had Dallas, or if they had the rest of their guys, if they had Tony Romo and a healthy Dallas. I really honestly believe that if Dallas's backups can hang with other teams' starters, especially within their division of the NFC East, that Dallas would have been winning these games and probably would be on top of the NFC East right now. So their health is important. Matt Cassel is going to play, and Dez Bryant most likely will play as well. And he'd be a good second or third option for you. You can't really count him out if you got him. Denver Broncos, big injury. C.J. Anderson, ankle injury, leaves him probable. He's been practicing fully, but he has been subpar this season. Peyton Manning, quarterback, foot injury, questionable. Did not practice, but it seems like a cautionary thing for him. When he's injured, they usually, for the age he is and the veteran he is, they let him sit out until game time.
They let the old man heal up a little bit. He should be playing. Anderson should be playing. Bigger ones for me, I'm questioning. I'm not sure Owen Daniels if he's going to play. And for defensive-wise, with Tlaib out and DeMarcus Ware questionable, it might be a week that you don't want to start their D. Tlaib is one of the biggest guys that gives you points on it.
And defense. He's definitely out because he's suspended.
Yeah, he's suspended, so that's indefinite. So fantasy-wise, might be a week you actually sit Denver's D, just because with Ware being questionable and with Tlaib out indefinitely with the suspension, they might not do as well as normal.
Emmanuel Sanders is questionable with an ankle injury as well, so you may look at Demaryius Thomas more so, but you do want to make sure you keep a close watch on Emmanuel Sanders, who usually plays when he's questionable, but yeah, it is worth a look. For the Detroit Lions, Kelvin Johnson, Megatron, seems like he is the Megatron that was thrown to the bottom of the ocean in the Transformers movie. He is subpar, I think is an understatement this year. Questionable with an ankle injury, limited in practice. They need him to play. They put out Jim Bob Cooter's offense, who I can't. I love Jim Bob. I love his name. I do.
You can't get much more of a southern name than that.
I can't smile. I can't keep myself from smiling when I say Jim Bob Cooter. So Jim Bob Cooter, for everybody that made fun of you in high school, this is the thing about bullying, folks. Look at him now. He's an offensive coordinator in the NFL, so screw all his bullies. But Jim Bob Cooter,
he's still picking up.
Who's still like, come on, he's Jim Bob Cooter. So, but he's he's running this offense. It's still having problems. Calvin Johnson most likely is going to play, but I guess the question that we come into here is, do you play Calvin Johnson? Because Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah, Joique Bell, and Golden Tate have all not had a good year.
I know, and I have him on my team again, so I keep playing him in hopes that he's going to do something, because the week I get rid of him, he's going to have a 25-point game.
So it happened when I got rid of D'Angelo Williams. Yes. Le'Veon Bell got injured.
Yeah, so I'm always going to hold on to him because he has Megatron. It's not like he's old and he's worn out. Like, he's just not getting thrown to as much. He's not getting as much. So I put it on the O-line and Stafford, I think, more than anything.
And then we look at the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, the Detroit Lions have definitely had a lot of struggles this season. Green Bay running back Eddie Lacy has a groin injury. He's limited in practice and questionable to play in his game. But Eddie Lacy, they really haven't taken to the run a lot. When he catches touchdowns recently, they've been through the air. So Eddie Lacy's been subpar. Clay Matthews, a linebacker. Green Bay's got a good defense. Clay, ankle knee injury leaves him questionable. He's been limited too. I would still consider playing their defense because, number one, they're good without Clay somehow, some way, and they're playing Detroit for Week 10. But Eddie Lacy, at this point, even if he is healthy, I know people want to play him, but yeah, this is like a 6 to 10 point guy, 8 points safe a week. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not the Eddie Lacy that you want him to be.
Yeah, you're going to hope for his breakout again, but with the injury, it's not happening this week or probably next week. So then again, they are running against Detroit, so they might try to control the ball and run it and just keep them off the field just to kind of take over the game. So maybe a little bit more this week, but with that groin injury and been limited practice, he might not do as much.
For the people that have never heard of a lacerated kidney, there's been 2 in 2 weeks, and the most recent to get one is quarterback Andrew Luck. He is out with what's being called the abdominal injury or lacerated kidney. He's out. Some reports say that he'll be back after the bye week. Other reports say that he will not play the rest of the season.
One of the same reports said he's out up to 6 weeks, and then it says he's going to play next week. So we didn't get that report. But, he's lacerated kidney. What we were in 10-0. I mean, he's going to be cutting it close if he didn't come back within 4 to 6 weeks. So you're looking at the end of the season, probably season ending for him.
Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Allen Hurns. If you haven't picked him up yet, you're crazy. This is another guy like Carlos Williams. Even before Carlos Williams, going into the season, I said whether the Jaguars win or lose, you want to have on your team Blake Bortles, who nobody drafts. Wide receiver Allen Hurns, who nobody drafts early, and wide receiver Allen Robinson, who sometimes gets drafted in the middle. Allen Hurns is questionable with a foot and a thigh injury, hasn't practiced. However, he's been on this list before. He's been questionable before, and he caught a touchdown last week against a tough Jets defense. So I think it's safe to say that you want to watch Hurns, make sure he's playing on the injury report, but he is worth the play.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. Almost always you see they're questionable, and they're going to play. They're just taking it easy through practice right now. He knows the plays. He's not like he needs the reps, so they're just letting him rest up, I think, before the game.
Watch me hit Tim with this one, folks. Miami Dolphins, they have a lot of injuries. Doesn't matter! We're just going to skip through all those. Well, Damian Williams is probable with a hand injury, but nobody knows who he is because he hasn't done anything this year.
Jordan Cameron's our biggest loss, and he hasn't been targeted enough to even make it a big concern, so don't worry about him.
And Devontae Parker, who's done nothing this season.
Man, Bryce McCann just makes our defense even that much worse. So
yeah, don't worry about it. We're just going to skip over Miami for you. Don't worry about Miami. So I hope Damian Williams does get to play, though. He hasn't done anything this season because Lamar Miller's out there. Jay Ajayi is there.
I'm thinking if there's anyone you're going to pick up for a back right now, Jay Ajayi and Carlos Williams are your two best, which a lot of people already jumped on Williams. But if you don't and Jay Ajayi's available, because if you looked at it last week, he wasn't even listed as one of the top running backs to pick up in the league because he had no points because he hasn't played all year.
He's on the bottom.
And then you look at him, and he's going to be a beast. He is a big, big kid, and I think he's going to start getting some more hands than Miller.
Yeah, Jay Ajayi is somebody that I kept on my injured reserve for a very long time, for 10 weeks, I believe. Almost 10 weeks I kept him on there because he played in week 9, and he was eligible to come back late in the season. So he is a guy to look at, and you're going to have to look up his name because most likely he'll be on the bottom. Teddy Bridgewater, concussion for the Minnesota Vikings, their starting quarterback, has left him questionable. I think it would be hard for him to come back because we talked about the a week at least that you give somebody, but this would be Sunday to Sunday. So
yeah, and they say he's making great progress through the concussion protocol. He's under the protocol. He's being watched. He's being limited contact reps and resting. It says he's making it through it all well. So by sounds of it, he might play. But is he worth picking up as a quarterback anyways for fantasy-wise?
Not right now.
Have him off an injury. Who are they playing? I forget who they're playing this week. Do you even see?
Minnesota is going up against the Giants. Oh, no, pardon me. Minnesota's going up against Oakland.
Yes. I'd probably sit him this week anyways. Oakland's been looking pretty good. So, you know, just as a cautionary thing, just even if he does come back, I don't know how much he's going to do.
Wide receiver Julian Edelman, knee injury for the Patriots. He's questionable. Yeah, right. He'll play.
He's been listed every week as questionable. Knee, foot, ankle. Whatever.
You know who's questionable? Bill Belichick for those calls that he has, okay? I'm looking for you, Bill, and I want those tapes that were burned. But the New England Patriots, Deion Lewis, running back, every week for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been struggling on whether or not I tell people to play him or not. In a bad situation, I don't have to worry about do you play him, do you not play him, because he's not going to play, but it's unfortunate because Deion is a guy that's obviously done some work. I think he can come in and potentially be a starter next year, but he's going to be out now.
Yeah, out for sure, that ACL. But a lot of people already have him. If you have him, start him. Came up a crazy game last week, and he is a big guy, and I think he's going to have another good week there. Yeah. They like running with him.
He's been one of the most consistent backs for the Patriots in the last couple seasons, which they don't usually have.
They like him in the red zone, which is weird when you have Gronk down there, but it gives you another, because you got to defend Gronk and Chandler, so getting him up the middle is
And I still think some people underestimate LeGarrette Blount because he's not in the top 10 for a lot of people. Wide receiver Willie Snead's been getting a lot of looks recently, scoring. I just picked him up. He is on the Saints with a knee injury, questionable and limited in practice. I would watch this one. If he's playing, I would say to put him out there.
Yeah, I picked him up a couple weeks back. He's been doing decent, so I think he's going to play.
The New York Giants, Victor Cruz, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it with you, Tim. Calf injury, questionable, didn't practice, probably not going to play.
Yep, maybe if he does, probably not.
Put it like this way. He did a commercial for Time Warner, and when you call them for customer service, it takes forever for somebody to answer your question. That is exactly what Victor Cruz does this year.
We got the new Time Warner curse. We got the DirecTV curse, actually, this year. Everyone, think about Tony Romo with that DirecTV out.
That's true.
Andrew Luck out. So just like we had the Madden cover, now we've got the DirecTV guys.
So basically, if you're in the NFL, don't do any endorsements until you're done playing.
I do love Tony Romo's commercial, though. I think he did a phenomenal job acting. I think he's got a second career in that. I laugh every time I see that commercial. Makes his crownies. Have you seen that one yet?
So you do like him?
I don't like him as a quarterback.
Yeah, well, actually, he was in the movie Trainwreck. He was good. He was good. I thought he did a good job. So it was fun. He was funny. He was a lot better than Amari Stoudemire, who just did not sound good with that. New York Jets, they have had the longest as far as looking at the sheet-wise, number of people-wise, they have had the longest injury report for a long time here in the NFL. I'm going to run down the list here for this week. Running back Tommy Bohannon is on the injury report, as well as tight end Kellen Davis, wide receiver Eric Decker, quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, running back Chris Ivory, wide receiver Jeremy Curley, wide receiver Brandon Marshall, running back Bilal Powell, running back Stephen Ridley, and quarterback Geno Smith. Out of all those people,
who matters?
I would say the ones that matter are, you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has a left thumb injury, but he's probable.
He played last week with it.
Eric Decker, who they throw the ball to even when he's hurt. Eric Decker, wide receiver.
Yeah, and Ivory. So.
And Chris Ivory, and they're all probable.
Fitzpatrick, reports are saying he's going to play tonight and then have surgery on that thumb tomorrow into the weekend. So he might be one to look at for the following week if he's going to be able to play. But reports are saying he's playing tonight. Ivory should be playing tonight.
Oakland Raiders, Amari Cooper, quadricep, questionable. Latavius Murray, running back, concussion, questionable. Latavius hasn't had a good year. Amari has been really clicking with Derek Carr. So how do we look at these two questionables who have both not practiced?
I think Cooper's going to play. Murray's questionable. Probably sit him anyways. Even if he does play, he's going to get limited contact just because of that concussion as he goes through the protocol. He hasn't had a terrible year, 700 yards rushing. Yeah. He's been averaging 5 yards a carry. It's just if he gets the ball enough is the problem.
There's not consistency in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles, Nelson Aguilar, ankle injuries probably. He had one good catch this year. That's been it. So he hasn't really been involved in the offense. Riley Cooper, toe injuries questionable. He hasn't been a huge part. Jordan Matthews really has been. He's not on the injury report for the good news of fantasy owners. Running back Ryan Matthews' groin injury is probable, full practice, and he, as well as DeMarco Murray's groin, is probable, full practice as well. Both of these guys played last week, and even when Ryan Matthews is questionable, he still played. So
yeah, I think they're both going to play, and I'd play Matthews over Murray anyways.
Big Ben for the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, foot injury left him questionable. He did not practice as of right now, as we're heading in toward the weekend. D'Angelo Williams hasn't practiced either with a foot injury as well, and he's questionable. So I would watch these two. D'Angelo, I don't know who the heck they play if they don't have him. And Big Ben, this is a question mark because Vic has been through it. And like we talked about earlier, the wide receivers are going to be affected if Ben doesn't play.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. Reports are it was just a mild sprain, if anything, of the foot, more like a strain probably. he seems to be doing all right. So reports are that he's going to play.
I think it's funny, the Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch, it says on the injury report, not injury related, but he's questionable. And I think that that means that his play has been questionable, so they're debating on whether or not they want to put him out on the field. That's how I'm going to take that whole situation, because Marshawn is not injured, but he's not playing that well. Carlos Hyde, he's got a foot injury still. He's out, so make sure you don't play him. Anquan Boldin just dropped him. Luckily I did, because he is out as well for the 49ers. St. Louis Rams, Todd Gurley doesn't have anything injury related, so just watch him, but he should be fine to go. And rounding it up here, Vincent Jackson, still questionable with a knee for the Bucs, but their offense has kind of gone to a little bit of everybody. He hasn't really picked out a favorite, and Austin Seferian Jenkins, it was the favorite target of Jameis Winston before he went out with his injury, still injured with a shoulder injury and hasn't played in weeks. So with the tight end, what would you say about Austin Seferian Jenkins?
I think you got a couple better options out there. Tight ends are a few that are overlooked right now. You can probably pick up instead of playing him as a risk.
And then as far as Kendall Wright goes, this is a big one. He is under the radar by a lot of people, but he has gotten points this year. He has a knee injury and is questionable, hasn't practiced, going up against the Carolina defense for the Titans. So maybe you leave him off this week going up against Carolina.
I would.
And the Washington Redskins, nothing really to note.
Hasn't been much going on.
There's a lot of injuries, but people forgot they played football. So, and I don't think DeSean Jackson's playing ever. So that's what's going on here with the injury report. Fantasy football helping you on who to play, sit, and consider going into this week. As always, Wellness with Whiting with Dr. Tim Whiting of Sturb Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Myself, Dan Tortora. We had some laughs. We gave you some serious moments. We had some fun. Really quick here, Tim, before I let you go, let everyone know, email, social media, and the phone number, how to get in touch with you if they want to set up an appointment.
Yeah, so email any questions, any topics you want us to cover on the show. We're always looking for new things to talk about. So it's twhiting, W-H-I-T-I-N-G, 44, at gmail.com. You can send me questions and follow me on Twitter, Dr. Whiting 44. And then for the office, if you guys need anything, obviously we specialize in neck pain, back pain, headaches, 315-472-7128.
That's coming from Dr. Tim Whiting. So for Tim and myself, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.